Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. And as we continue this study in the life of John the Baptist, I want to look at the verse 3 in particular, verse 3 of Matthew chapter 3. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Upon hearing the word of the Lord as spoken by an angel, Zacharias was stricken with dumbness. The one who was to be the father of Christ's forerunner had been filled with unbelief and didn't believe that it was possible for him to be the father of John the Baptist. We read in Luke chapter 1, and there in verse 18, and Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Whereby shall I know this? In other words, by saying that Zacharias was really saying, I don't believe you. Whereby shall I know this? He's saying, I don't accept your word. He had no need to say, whereby shall I know this? Because the word of the Lord by the angel was sufficient. All he had to do was accept the Lord's word. That's how he would know it. And you look at verse 20 of Luke chapter 1. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, said the angel, and not able to speak until the day these things shall be performed, because thou didst not believe my words. Zacharias did not take the Lord at his word. And when he said, whereby shall I know this? He was really saying to the angel, I cannot accept your word. Because the angel had made it known unto him and told him that he would indeed be the father of Christ's forerunner. And that should have been enough. But then we are no different from Zacharias. And it's only by the Lord's mercy that we are not stricken with dumbness as well. Because the Lord has given us His word, and how many times have we doubted His word? And how many times have we also said, whereby shall I know this? This shows us just how grieved the Lord is when we doubt His word, that He was prepared to deal with Zacharias in this way, been stricken with a spirit of dumbness until John, his son, was born. The Lord then graciously removed Elizabeth's reproach. She conceived and would await the arrival of her son John. 6 months later, the angel Gabriel visited Elizabeth's cousin Mary and informed her that she was to be the mother of the Messiah. Mary then made haste and visited Elizabeth to tell her the good news. And upon hearing Mary's salutation, something quite remarkable took place. Would you turn, please, to Luke chapter 1? Luke chapter 1. Mary enters the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth in verse 41 of Luke 1. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, that is, when Elizabeth heard the good news that Mary was to be the mother of the promised Messiah, what happened? The babe, that is John, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 44. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. That is something that is quite remarkable. It would be another 3 months before John would be born. And yet, as he lay in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, when he heard, when it was communicated to him, that Messiah was coming, why, John leapt for joy in the womb of his mother. This is something that is quite remarkable. But it is something that should teach us just how close and intimate was the relationship between John and the Lord Jesus Christ. That even before John was born, he knew about the Messiah, and it caused joy in his heart. And all who have a living relationship with Christ will rejoice at the mere mention of the name of Christ. The name of the Lord Jesus will fill their hearts with joy. They will rejoice to hear His name preached. They will rejoice to lift up that name in praise. They will rejoice when His name is given the preeminence, when in all things He has the preeminence. That will fill the true child of God with joy. And I cannot understand how professing believers can attend places of worship where Jesus Christ is not preached, where His name is not exalted, where His name is not praised. How can God's people sit under a ministry where the preacher does not preach Christ? Because it is the preaching of Christ that builds up the believer and fills their hearts with joy. And when you know the Lord, why, you want to hear more about Him. But here is John, even before he's born, 3 months before he is born, he rejoiced to hear about Jesus Christ. Then after his birth, Luke chapter 1, verse 80, we read, the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. And on that day, John went forth to minister. John went forth to minister that others might also hear about Jesus Christ. It is now time for John the Baptist to make his appearance and to commence his ministry as the Lord's forerunner and messenger. It is now time for John to be the Lord's witness. And here we have, first of all, the foreordained ministry of John. The foreordained ministry of John. We see that in our text. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." These words are taken from Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah 40 and verse 3. "And the service of the ministry which John would render unto the Lord had been foreordained of God." Just as Jeremiah was foreordained to be a prophet of the Lord. Turn to Jeremiah. There to Jeremiah chapter 1. And in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 we read, "The word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet." So in the eyes of God, Jeremiah was a prophet before he was born. Jeremiah was a prophet before God had formed him in his mother's womb. "I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Then Jeremiah says, "Ah, Lord, but I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. Whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." God had ordained this man a prophet before he was born. He was foreordained to be a prophet. That was the work that God had for Jeremiah. And Jeremiah said, "Ah, Lord, but I cannot speak, for I am a child." And then the Lord said unto him, "Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go." Thou shalt go. And I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. The point that we're making here is this, that when God has foreordained us for a service or a ministry, God will equip us for that task or for that work. Jeremiah had been foreordained to be a prophet, and God equipped Jeremiah to carry out his duties as a prophet. And believer, whatever God has foreordained for us and how we are to serve him, make no mistake about it, God will equip you for that job. If God has chosen you to do a work, he will equip you to carry out that work. And it's good when you feel your weakness. It is good when we come to the Lord and say, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, I am but a child." It's good. Because then we know that we must depend on God to equip us for the work that he has called us to do. And so we see that John carried on his ministry as the Lord's forerunner because he had been foreordained to do that work. Notice the place for his ministry. Look there at our text. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. There was his place of ministry. Verse 1 says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. Sometimes the Lord calls men to serve him in the great cities of the world. We had Bill Jones here some months ago, over a year ago or so, and the Lord has called him to serve the Lord in the city of New York. And there's some young people from our Greenville church helping out down there, but there they are serving the Lord in that great city of New York. But others he has chosen to serve him in small villages, in hamlets, in the backwoods. He called John to serve him in a wilderness. That was his place of service. Now there are not too many who would choose to serve the Lord in the wilderness. They would prefer to serve the Lord in more populated areas. Well, after all, they would have a greater chance of success. More people to preach to. Well, the bigger the church they would have. But it was foreordained by God that John would carry on his ministry, not in a city, not in a village, not even in a hamlet, but in the wilderness. That's where God would have John to go. And we read in our text that John was the voice crying in the wilderness. In other words, John was right in the very center of God's will. He was in the place that the Lord had foreordained he should be. When God has foreordained our field of service, it matters not whether it is in the wilderness or in the city or in the jungles of Africa or in the heart of some great metropolis. It matters not, because if God has foreordained it, then that will be the happiest place on earth for that person, because he's in the center of God's will. It was foreordained by God that our dear brother Dr. Bill Woods should labor for his master in the jungles off Brazil. And we have seen his slides and his video and him going up the Amazon and to reach isolated individuals away there in the jungle. It was foreordained that God, that Brother Bellwood should serve the Lord there. And God has foreordained it that someone will go to Liberia to serve in that impoverished, strife-torn land. It has been foreordained. There's somebody that God has to go to Liberia and to help establish the churches there and to minister to those people. God has foreordained someone. He maybe doesn't know it at this present time. On the other hand, maybe God is already working on his heart. And he'll come to that point where he will realize, my place is in Liberia. My place is there with that people. And when he goes, he will consider Liberia to be the greatest place on earth. So it was with John the Baptist. He didn't go and preach in the cities. He was told to go, and it was foreordained that he should preach in the wilderness. You know, that's an encouragement to the servants of the Lord. But all ministers would like to have large churches, 300 or 400 of a congregation. And I remember when I came, or my wife and I and family came to Canada, and we went up there to Barrie, and I remember the first Sabbath day, after leaving a congregation of about 150 and ministering to my own family and I think two other families, I remember thinking, I have come to the backside of the desert. That's how I felt. I felt it was in the desert. The Lord had called me to the wilderness. And that's when you have to really prove the Lord and know that he has called you. And the verse that the Lord used to call me was John 15, verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go. God had foreordained that we would serve him here in Canada. God had foreordained that the disciples would go out into all the world and preach the gospel. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go. So there you have the place for his ministry. Then we notice the period of his ministry. Look at verse 1, Matthew 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. In those days, what days? Well, for the answer, we must turn to Luke chapter 3. Turn to the third chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 3 and verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. In those days, in other words, in the days of Tiberius Caesar and Pontius Pilate and Herod and Philip, Lysanias, and the priest Annas and Caiaphas. In those days, those were the days in which John the Baptist went forth to minister. They were terrible days for the Jews. They were terrible days for the people of Israel. Tiberius Caesar had a reputation for wickedness. He was talented, ambitious, cruel, licentious, and inhuman. He was brutal towards his wife and mother, and he poisoned many of his family circle. Pontius Pilate, of course, was governor, and Christ was crucified. He had a part in the crucifixion of Christ. Tells you enough about him. Herod, who was tetrarch of Galilee, was the one who murdered John the Baptist. And so it was a period of time that was dominated by wickedness. Principalities and powers of the rulers of darkness. And spiritual wickedness. Those two words mean spirits of wickedness or wicked spirits. And without a doubt, wicked spirits were abroad in the days of John the Baptist in high places. Yet it was for this time that the Lord had foreordained that John should go forth to be Christ's forerunner and messenger. God had foreordained that John would rise up at that time and commence his ministry just at that time in those days. Or as Luke puts it, he was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Remember those words in the book of Esther? Esther was told when she was informed about the threat that was upon the Jews. Mordecai said to Esther, "Who knoweth that thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" The Lord in his sovereign will had put Esther in that place of being queen in the land. No one was nearer to the king than Esther. And she was in that place where she could use her influence and speak to the king about Haman. And she could save the Jews. And Mordecai says, "Esther, you're come to the kingdom for such a time as this. God has raised you up for such a time as this to save the Jews." God had raised up John the Baptist for such a time. He was to be the forerunner of Christ. And believer, the same spirit is abroad today. We have our Herods. We have our Tiberius Caesars. We have our Pontius Pilates today. The same spirit of wickedness is abroad, even the spirit of Antichrist is abroad. And believer, the Lord has raised you and me up for such a time as this. You ever think about that? Why were we not brought into the world at some other time? Why at this time? Why are we living here and now in this year 2006? Because the Lord has brought us to the kingdom for such a time as this. To prepare the way, if you like, for the Lord, for He's coming again. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I believe with all my heart He has raised this denomination up, brought it to the kingdom for such a time as this. In this day of apostasy and spiritual declension, God never leaves Himself without a witness, and He has raised up this denomination to help stem the tide of apostasy, to stand against it, and to stand where our forefathers stood, and to preach again the old, good old doctrines of the Protestant Reformation. He has raised up this church, not only the denomination, but individual churches. He has raised up this church in Port Hope for such a time as this. He has raised us up as individuals for such a time as this. God has foreordained that we are here at this time to minister and serve the Lord. Let us not fail the Lord then. Let us not fail Him, but carry out those duties that he has given to us as the servants of the Lord. Not only do we have his place in the period of his ministry, but the preaching, his preaching ministry, the way of the Lord was going to be prepared by preaching. By the preaching of John, we read in chapter 3 of Matthew in verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching. You never read of John doing anything else but preaching. John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. All things that he spake. He was a preacher. And John was going to prepare the way for the Lord by preaching. He'd been called to preach. He'd been foreordained that John would be a preacher. John wasn't called upon to use gimmicks to prepare the way of the Lord. Wasn't called upon to entertain the people of Judea and Jerusalem. He was called upon to preach. And look again at verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. Now look at verse 3. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. John had gone out into the wilderness to preach. And his preaching was a crying out to the people. Does that not indicate to us his sincerity? He was crying. The preaching that John, that the people heard, was a preaching that came from John's heart. And I'll prove that. In Mark 15, verse 34, we have these words. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried, and it's the same word. Jesus cried with a loud voice. What did Jesus cry? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Would we doubt the Lord's sincerity when he cried those words? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the same word is used to describe the crying of John or the preaching of John. John was a man who preached from the heart. He cried out to the people. John's preaching was Christ-like. That's what we need in this day, Christ-like preaching. Preaching that comes from the heart. Far too much frivolity, play acting, false sincerity. That's what is that people see today in the pulpits of this land. Even in so-called fundamentalist circles. I told you before about the tape that was given to me once of a preacher, fundamentalist evangelical preacher. And I was told to listen to this tape. It wasn't a tape of the man's preaching. It was a tape of all the jokes that he told before he started to preach. And when he stood in the pulpit, he spent 10 minutes telling stories and telling jokes. I tell you, that kind of business has no place in a fundamentalist pulpit. How was John going to prepare the way of the Lord? By preaching. And by preaching from the heart. Sincere preaching. It was not only sincere preaching, it was sound preaching. Turn, please, to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3 and verse 2. Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan preaching. See how the two verses are linked together. John, where was he? Luke chapter 1 verse 8, he tells us he spent his time, his early days, those silent years in the deserts, in the wilderness. And it was while he was in the wilderness that the word of God came to him. Luke 3 verse 2, God's word came to him. Where? In the wilderness. And now verse 3 says, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching. In other words, the word that John received from God, he preached it. He got a word from God, and then he delivered it. Many things we could say about those two verses in Luke 3. Before John went out to preach, he needed to get a word from God. Before a man stands in the pulpit to preach, he must have a word from God. Where did John get this word? When he was alone with God in the wilderness. And that's where the preacher gets the word to deliver on the Sabbath day. He gets it from God when he's alone with God. And that word that God gives him is the word he must preach. And sometimes God will give him a word that it may be difficult to preach, but it's still the word of God. And he must deliver it. It may be a word of rebuke. It may be a word of reproof. It may be a word that will cut to the quick of the heart. But if God has given it to him, what's he to do? He must preach it. That's what John did. As Micaiah the prophet said, of all whatever word the Lord gives to me, that will I speak. And John got a word from God, and that's the word John preached. But notice something else, how John is here described. He's described as the voice of one crying in the wilderness. John here is called the voice. The voice. John is the voice. And what is Christ? Christ is the Word. John's the voice. Christ is the Word. And so here you have a preacher who preaches Christ. He is simply the voice. and the Word was in his mouth, and the Word he preached, and the Word was Christ. He preached Christ. Oh, that the Lord would make us all like John in this sense. May we be the voice, and may the Word that is in our lips be Christ, for he is the Word made flesh. Notice something else. There's something very solitary about John's preaching. We're told in our text, "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one man, the voice of one crying in the wilderness." Wasn't a team of evangelists that went out into the wilderness. Just one voice. The only voice that the people of Judea and Jerusalem heard when they went out into the wilderness was the voice of John the Baptist. He was indeed the voice crying in the wilderness, crying alone, preaching alone, standing for Christ alone. Remember what we learned last week? That John the Baptist was likened on to Elijah. He was even called Elijah. And here you have one of the parallels, one of the similarities with Elijah. Over in 1 Kings 19 and verse 10, what did Elijah say? He says, I only am left. I'm the only one who's standing up and speaking out and speaking a word for God. I only. He was the one voice. There were other prophets in the land that Obadiah was caring for and hiding. But they were in hiding. Elijah was the one voice, if you like, crying in the wilderness. John, one voice, crying in the wilderness. Believer, have you ever felt like John? Have you ever felt you're just that one voice crying in the wilderness in your home, amongst your family? You're the one voice that's standing up for the Lord. In your workplace, you're one voice. In the office, just one voice. And just remember, John, when you feel that you're standing alone, remember John. John was that solitary voice, but he still cried out with the word on his lips, the word that God had given to him, crying out from his heart. Notice that it doesn't say, "This is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying a voice," but the voice. John was the voice, the man that God had sent. He was the voice. Wasn't just any voice, but the voice of the man foreordained of God to go into the wilderness. In other words, John in the wilderness was God's man in the wilderness. And since God has called us here, I know that I'm here as a preacher because God has sent me here. And at times when we feel as though we're in that wilderness, may we still be crying out May our voice never be silenced, but may we, like John, cry in the wilderness. Something else, he was a successful preacher. Even though John was in the wilderness preaching, the Lord still gave him success. Look at Matthew 3, verse 5. Matthew 3, verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. Then went out to him. Notice the words. They went out to him. They went out into the wilderness. See how the Lord blessed the ministry of John. He might have been in the wilderness, but lo and behold, the Lord brought the people out of the cities, out into the wilderness. The Lord gave John success. It was something in John which drew the people out to him. Turn please to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 5. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. Verse 7. And preached, saying, this is what they went out to hear. Preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. Who's he speaking about? He's speaking about Christ. Who was he preaching? He was preaching Christ. There's it again. John was the Word. Or John was the voice and Christ was the Word. That's the Word that John preached. And the people went out to hear John's preaching. And what did they hear? They heard him say, there cometh one mightier than I. After me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. He was referring to the Messiah. He's speaking about Christ. And here's John in the wilderness. He has no gimmicks. He's not entertaining the people. He's preaching. And he's preaching Christ. And the people went out to hear him and to hear him preach Christ. This reminds me very much of the Lord's own words in John 12 and verse 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. John lifted up Christ. What was the result? Christ drew all men. We read that. All Judea, all Jerusalem were all baptized. There's the drawing power of a Christ-centered ministry. So we have considered the place, the period, and the preaching. And finally and quickly, we consider the plainness of John's ministry. Look once more at Matthew 3. We read in verse 4 of Matthew 3, the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Now he spent his days in the desert. Here we're told something about his dress and his diet. In fact, the Lord Jesus, when speaking about John, drew attention to his dress and his diet. If you turn to Luke chapter 7, Luke 7 and verse 24. John is now in prison. And when the messengers, verse 24 of Luke 7, when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. Here's the Lord speaking well of John the Baptist. He spoke about John, first of all, about John's strength. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? Did you go out there to expect to find a man who was as weak as a reed that is shaken in the wind? And of course the answer was that that's not what they found. They didn't find a man who was like a reed shaken in the wind, tossed to and fro. Instead they went out and found a man. John the Baptist was a man. See some of these old apostates today, they're so effeminate, they nearly make you throw up the way they get on. Like women. John the Baptist was a man. He was out there in the wilderness. He was a man. He was a man who had the courage of his convictions and was not prepared to waver from those convictions. Indeed, that's why he was imprisoned. He took a stand for the Lord and for truth and for righteousness. What can we learn from John? He wasn't a reed shaken in the wind. What was he? He was a man with the spirit and power of Elias. Spirit and power of Elijah. Let us, believer, be like John and stand firm in this day and not give way or give in, and stand as firm as one of the cedars of Lebanon and not be like a reed shaken in the wind. So the Lord spoke about John's strength, and then he spoke about John's self-denial. He told his hearers that they expected to see a man gorgeously apparelled and living delicately, then they would be in for a great surprise. The Lord says those that are gorgeously arrayed or have gorgeous apparel on them and eat delicate things, they belong to king's palaces. That's not where this man belonged. He belonged outside in the desert. This man wore his raiment of camel's hair, and he had a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Here was a self-denying man, one who was mortified to the world. He didn't seek the pleasure crazes of the world. He was a plain man. He didn't seek after worldly things. He lived in the desert. He was plainly dressed, camel's hair and a leathern girdle. He ate locusts, and according to the book of Leviticus, Jews were permitted to eat locusts. And I'll tell you how they cooked them. Might put you off your own dinner, but they were allowed to eat locusts. And John ate locusts and wild honey. He was a plain man. What did the Lord say to those would-be disciples? He said, let a man deny himself. The word there, deny, in Matthew 16, verse 24, means to utterly deny. To deny utterly. To utterly deny self. John utterly denied self. And I think of our many missionaries who have utterly denied self. And they're living out there in Kenya, in Cameroon, soon to go to Liberia, and they're not living in fancy hotels and eating delicacies. Just have to eat what the natives eat. You talk to some of the missionaries and what they have to eat, I tell you, the natives are really hungry. But they have denied self. John was a man who denied self. And went out there to be that voice crying in the wilderness. He was one who had denied self. He was also a prophet. The Lord says, yea, and more than a prophet. The Lord says of John, he was a prophet through and through. As true as they come. What a great man was John. John the Baptist. Much more to say about his ministry. We'll complete it this evening. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Lord and our gracious Father, we rejoice in Jesus Christ, and we thank Thee for men like John the Baptist. Men, Lord, who from even before they were born, Lord, rejoiced in Jesus Christ. We ask, dear Father, that Thou would make us a people who ever rejoice in Jesus Christ, to hear His name spoken in praise, to hear Him preached. Oh, may that always gladden our hearts. And, oh Lord, we pray that Thou would make us strong as John was. Not to give way or to give in. Not to be shaken like a weak reed in the wind. But rather, Lord, to stand as strong as the cedars of Lebanon for King Jesus. Bless the word to our hearts. Lord, return us tonight to learn more about this great man of God. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever. Amen.